Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. I'm so pleased that you're listening today because we've really some very interesting pieces, and I hope you stay with us. First, we're going to think about the film Unbroken, which is about Louis Zamperini and almost the impossible task of forgiving people for things that they've done. It's a really interesting story to think about. Secondly, we're going to move on to an American company that you might not be familiar with, JCPenney, and The Gift of Giving, a really interesting story there. Then we're going to ask ourselves one of our life questions, which is, does opinion actually change reality? So we'll think about that for a moment or two. And then we'll finish with our regular serial slot, Dr. Luke's Diaries. Actually, today we're going to be considering, did Jesus actually claim to be the Son of God? So stay with us. Unbroken is a 2014 American war drama film produced and directed by Angelina Jolie and based on the 2010 non-fiction book by Laura Hildenbrand, Unbroken, a World War II story of survival, resilience and redemption. The film revolves around the life of USA Olympian and athlete Louis Zamperini, portrayed by Jack O'Connell. Zamperini died on July the 2nd, 2014, at the age of 97, having survived in a raft for 47 days after his bomber was drowned in World War II and was sent to a series of prisoner of war camps. I was very interested in this man. He spent 27 months imprisoned in a brutal Japanese prisoner of war camp. He endured a series of harsh interrogations. He was starved, he was disease-ridden, he was beaten almost daily by a sadistic guard nicknamed the Bird. Louis's goal after the war, was to go back to Japan, find Bird and finish him off. Every night the Bird came into Louis's nightmares. Louis would strangle him, killing him with his hands around his throat. Bound with anger and hatred, Louis turned to alcohol, drinking heavily and focusing his energy on revenge. His one ambition, to find the Bird and kill him. In the fall of 1949, Louis's wife begged him to go with her to a Billy Graham revival meeting. Halfway through Graham's preaching, Louis bolted home, feeling condemned, angry and defensive. The next night, Louis was compelled to return to the revival service, not by his wife, by a conviction within him. Louis fell to his knees and asked God to forgive me for not having kept the promises I'd made during the war and for my sinful life. I made no excuses, he said. Filled with forgiveness for himself and for his former captors and tormentors, Louis quit drinking and experienced an enveloping calm. His nightmares never returned. The following year, Louis returned to Japan, confronting many of his old guards and confounding them with absolution. The most important thing in my Christian life is not only to forgive them, but to tell them face to face that I forgive them. When we practice a genuine relationship with God, we can return blessing for cursing. Romans 12:14 in the Bible says, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them." God can give us a complete change of heart towards those who have hurt us deeply. But it depends upon doing something unthinkable, which is only possible by God's grace. That is blessing our offender. Now please understand that forgiving and blessing our offender does not mean you tolerate physical and verbal abuse. It does not mean you try to make the abuse normal or rationalise that abuse will end because that person will improve tomorrow. Blessing the one who has hurt you means you set boundaries. You become a blessing to that person when you expose any form of their violence, determined to abolish it. Perhaps Louis's words ring true for you. God has given me so much. He expects so much out of me. Maybe someone has greatly wronged you. Take a courageous step forward today and bless them and don't curse them. Set boundaries. Don't allow that abuse to continue. There is a beautiful verse in the Bible in Daniel chapter 9, verse 9, and it says this, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses." Jesus said, "To whom much has been forgiven, they will forgive others. I trust God will bless you, knowing his forgiveness and the ability to forgive others. Hi there. Here's a very interesting piece that I read about the other day. You may not have heard about a company called JCPenney, unless, of course, you come from the United States or Puerto Rico. You may then well have heard of them. I really have heard the name, but don't know an awful lot about them. That they're a group of department stores, originally started by a man called James Cash Penney. Interesting name, that middle name, Cash. James Cash Penney, he went into the retail business as a young man and eventually established a chain of stores bearing his name. He built 1,400 stores before the stock market crash in 1929, which left him in financial ruin. I had a great story about them, which is why I've included this little piece today. Hopefully you'll find it interesting. During the crash, Penny checked himself into a hospital where he heard the hymn "God Will Take Care of You" being sung in the hospital's chapel. And as a result, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. He became a born-again Christian. And for the rest of his life, he used his influence to serve Christ by serving others. If you fast forward the clock to 2011, should I say, when JCPenney replaced the longtime CEO Mike Ullman with Apple executive Ron Johnson. Johnson immediately fired many of the company's leaders and tried to promote sweeping cultural change in the organisation, including promoting certain types of sexual behaviour and activity that just wasn't appropriate to be promoting in a business context. As a result, the company's stock nosedived. Johnson was fired after less than 2 years, and Ullman was asked to step back in. I'm reading this account by a man who met Mike Ullman earlier this year, and he says he found him to be most brilliant, engaging, and humble. An amazing leader, really. His Christian commitment was clear and bold. And having been reinstated in his job, he improved the culture of JCPenney in remarkable ways. But he'd done something completely unusual, which is appropriate to this time of year. We're just past Christmas. And it was telling us about the fact that he promoted within the business the gift of giving. Now, there's a viral video out about this. You may want to watch it. But JCPenney wanted to buy gifts for customers, but in an unusual way. Now, normally department stores are selling gifts, not buying gifts for customers. Store employees asked shoppers to find someone in the store they didn't know and offered to buy them a gift. One gave a woman a sofa, another gave a couple their engagement ring. A delighted girl was given a pair of slippers. One tearful woman told her benefactors that it was her birthday. People were clearly blessed to receive, and even more blessed to give. There is a verse in the Bible in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, that says this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. And one of the JC benefactors noted this: when you give, you grow. Now, you may have just given an immense amount of gifts at Christmas. You may have received an immense amount. You may have stressed over the amount of money that it costs to do that. Let's just remember that verse. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The Bible says God spared not his own son, but delivered him up freely for us all. The Bible says that we should give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. And having just hopefully considered Christmas, I hope you've considered the fact that God gave his son, not just to Bethlehem, but to the cross at Calvary, to die for our sins so that we might know forgiveness. Now, as I finish, Time magazine reported four traits that lead to hypertension. We're thinking about the joy that we need in life and the stress we might have. Number one, a tendency to get upset when we have to wait. That would lead to you being stressed. A tendency to eat too quickly, a feeling of pressure at the end of regular workday approaches, and a feeling of time pressure in general. You might have those. But let's just remember that the season we've just finished maybe adds to our stress, but we can know the blessing of giving, and we can also know the blessing of receiving blessing. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Question for you this week: does opinion change reality? You know, someone recently said to me, "I don't believe in hell," as though his opinion was relevant to hell's existence. You know, I could say to you, "I don't believe in Queen Elizabeth," but my disbelief doesn't make her any less real. I could say to you, I don't believe that there's an airport in Manchester, but again, that wouldn't change the reality that there is. It's actually far wiser to align our opinion with reality, a fact that's especially relevant with regard to eternal truths regarding God. There is a story in the Bible about a man called Simeon. He was an old man who met the infant Jesus in the temple days literally after he'd been born. Luke in the Bible describes this man as devout, and he uses a Greek word, eulabes. This word was used only by Luke in the New Testament, but it was common in ancient Greek literature. Plato and others employed it along with a very specific meaning. Eulabes describes a person who assesses God properly, recognizing his sovereignty and supreme holiness, and who therefore admits to him with fear and reverence. He submits to God's authority. The devoutness is appreciation of God and his right to act and his supreme holiness. And because he was devout, when Simeon met and embraced the infant Jesus, he knew he held divinity in his arms, and he gave him the reverent worship due to his Lord. It would be good if we did that. You know, as we've just left Christmas behind, our culture tends to think of Jesus as a baby in a manger. But that baby grew up, became a boy whose wisdom astounded the scholars of his nation, became a man who calmed stormy seas with his commands, who banished demons and healed lepers and raised the dead. He was worshipped by shepherds when he was born, by the Magi as a child, by his disciples who made him their king. One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's Philippians 2, 10 and 11 in the Bible. As the poem has said, all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man on earth as has that one solitary life. How are you in terms of devoutness today? Dr. Luke's Diaries. Let me read the passage to you from Luke's Gospel. It's chapter 22, and we're reading from verse 63 to 71. It's about the trial of Jesus Christ before the religious authorities. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him in the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask, I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "You say that I am." And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." Jesus was condemned to crucifixion by the Jews for claiming to be the Son of God. He was condemned by the Romans for claiming to be a king, though I'm not sure that Pilate really believed that, if you read the record. We've read together about the treatment of Jesus. Here are the religious authorities, and before they even pass judgment, they mock him, they smite him, they blindfold him, they strike him on the face, and they say, "If you're so clever, if you're God, then tell us who hit you." Blindfolded, guess who hit you? They played games with him. They mocked him. And the Bible says in verse 65, "And many other things blasphemously spake they against him." We've heard recently about blasphemy and the offence that people take and the awful lengths they went to get their own back for blasphemy. And here is the Son of God, Jesus, the miracle worker, the man who never sinned, the one that no one has found a flaw in his life yet. And they mock him and they humiliate him. And the Bible says that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was silent in suffering. What am I like? What are you like when we suffer? He is our great example if we're saved. That, of course, is a big question. Not just to follow Jesus for the greatness of his life and the strength of his character, but because he paid for my sin, he cleared my debt, he died for me, and I receive him as my saviour, and I trust him as the one who can deal with my sin. What do you think? Do you think Jesus claimed to be the Son of God? Was he? Listen to they say to him, "Are you the Christ? Tell us." And the very way that the language seems to be, because remember, we're just reading a translation of the original Hebrew, and in this case, the original Greek. And the question seems to be put to him in an affirmative. "Thou then," or "you then," "are the Son of God?" Question mark, exclamation mark. And his response is, "You say it because I am," or "you say that I am." They knew what he was claiming for. It is recorded here. They said, "We don't need any further witness. We've heard of his own mouth. We've heard him for ourselves." Yes, Jesus believed he was the Son of God. I wonder what you think. Was he deluded? Was he just a great man but confused? Did he have illusions of grandeur? Had he lost the plot? Oh, I see no evidence of that in the record of his life or the record of history. I see a man who clearly is sane and understands what he's saying. I see a man who has sufficient evidence attributed to him historically by eyewitnesses of the miraculous things he did and the teaching he gave that would point me to the conclusion that he is the Son of God. But I wonder what you think. I wonder if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe he is. I believe he gave his life upon the cross because he was the only one who could pay for our sin. I believe there is a holy God that we will meet one day. My challenge to you today is, don't just dismiss the message of Christianity, the message of the cross, the message of the need for salvation. Consider it, and I pray you'll trust him. For it's the greatest thing you'll ever do. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God bless you. You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.